This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Yasmeen Mujahid, and you're listening to Serenity, streaming live on One Legacy Radio. Today, we are taking your questions on the topic of hardships. And this is a topic that a lot of people send quite a bit of inquiries about. It's something that we've all faced and we all will face at one point or another in our lives. And, you know, we know that this life is a mix of both hardship and ease, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, inna ma'al usri yusra, that with hardship is ease. And this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has emphasized in the Quran, that this life is, it's not all good, but it's not all bad either. And that whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us something that is a challenge, He, along with that challenge, also gives us ease and gives us the ability to withstand that. Sometimes the difficulty is whenever we're in that hardship, it becomes difficult to sometimes see the ease, and sometimes we can't recognize it because we become so focused on the hardship itself, and it sort of surrounds us, and we have trouble focusing on anything else. And as a result of focusing on the hardship itself and allowing the hardship to take over me and allowing the hardship to consume me, I'm actually no longer able to see the ease that Allah has also given me. Inna ma'al usri yusra. Indeed, with hardship is ease. And it has everything to do with where my heart is focused. And you'll find that no matter what situation you're in, anytime the heart focuses on something other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it feels pain. And the pain comes in different forms, but you'll find that across different situations, anytime the heart focuses on something other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it suffers. For example, if a hardship comes to me, and because I'm dealing with this hardship, it might be financial, it might be personal, it might be something in my family, it might be something in my career. But when that hardship faces me, when I face rather that hardship, I you know, as human beings, we immediately move our attention and our focus to the hardship itself. Now all of my attention and my focus of heart and mind gets, you know, is now looking towards, is now directed towards the hardship itself. And when we do that, now I want you to imagine for a moment a person who's looking at something. And as soon, and suppose that that person might be facing, their face is facing, they're looking directly at something. And then all of a sudden they hear a loud noise on their left or on their right. And immediately we as human beings, when we hear a loud noise, our face turns towards the direction of the noise, of where the noise is coming from. That turning is what happens to us in hardship. We might be focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is in one scenario. A person might be focused on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then as soon as something hits them, a hardship comes, it takes that focus away, and now we look towards that thing which made the loud sound. How does this then manifest itself? Well, now, for example, when I'm praying, I'm no longer able to focus in my prayer on Allah. Instead, now when I'm praying, I'm thinking about the problem. I'm working through different solutions in my mind. Well, if I do this, then, you know, this will happen. But if I don't do this, this other thing will happen. And so now my thoughts are being consumed with this problem itself and trying to solve it. And what happens is you'll know that this is the case because it will take over your prayers, for example. It will be what you think about all day long. It'll be the first thing that comes to your mind when you wake up in the morning. And that process of just thinking and thinking and thinking about it, well, think back to the example I gave. when you turned your face to look at the sound, the direction of the sound, it meant that you're no longer looking at what you were originally looking at. And that's the nature of the heart, is that it can only look in one direction. It's just like when my eyes are looking at something, if my face is directed towards one direction, I cannot see behind me at the same time. And so the heart is the same way. The heart also has a face, and it faces in one direction or another. If all of my attention and focus and concern is even about this hardship itself, then that means I've looked away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's in that looking away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of the heart that really causes the deep pain. And so then, you know, people naturally will ask this question of, well, what do I do? How do I even avoid that? I mean, I'm facing... Maybe my husband got laid off. Maybe I got laid off. My wife got laid off. We can't pay our bills. Somebody is sick, or somebody died, or someone is hurting me, or I'm not able to get married, or I'm getting divorced. I'm having family problems. Whatever issues that a person is dealing with, naturally, it's very difficult to not think about it. It's very difficult to keep the mind from getting consumed by it. And this is really where we have to exert energy. So often we exert our energy into trying to work through solving the problem on our own. Okay, and I want to just emphasize, this doesn't mean that we aren't taking action to try to solve the problem, but we try to solve it on our own. Or maybe we go to the creation, or we use means to try to solve it, but we're taking it upon ourselves to try to solve this problem. That is why we get overwhelmed. That is why it takes over and we feel smothered and we feel like we can't carry it anymore. And it's because I'm trying to carry a mountain and I'm obviously not equipped to carry a mountain. And so my mistake is that I'm trying to carry something I was never created to be able to carry. If instead of exerting our efforts to try to carry a mountain, instead, if we exert our efforts to keep the heart focused on the right thing, then actually what will happen is my problem will become light, my problem will become easy, and my problem will become solved. And this is where we really are exerting our effort in the wrong place. We put in effort, but we're not putting it in keeping the heart focused on the one who can solve it. The lesson here is, instead of worrying about the problem, instead of focusing on the problem, I need to focus on the one who can solve it. And realizing that I can't solve it. It's just like I don't look at, you know, Mount Everest and I say, you know, I can actually lift that up and I can carry it on my back. That would be crazy. And that's exactly what we do when we're facing something really, really heavy, something really difficult. We try to carry it on our backs. And that isn't something we can do. Trying to do that will waste your efforts, or waste your energy, and exhaust you, and smother you, and make you feel as though you can't even function. Because obviously, if someone is trying to lift a mountain, they're not going to have any energy left for anything else. And on top of it, you don't succeed in lifting the mountain. All you do, if you're trying to lift something that is too heavy for you to carry, you don't end up lifting it, you don't end up being able to carry it, and all you do is make yourself very, very tired. This is how we respond incorrectly to hardship. We use our efforts to try to take care of the problem ourselves, to try to solve it. We use our mental energy, our emotional energy, our psychological energy in that endeavor, instead of using it in the right way. And the right way is to ask for the one who can solve it. Ask the one who can carry it. Ask the one who is in control of all of it. All of these things are a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, including your hardships, including your pain, including your sadness and your happiness as well. All of these are creations, and they were made for a particular very specific purpose. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that He doesn't want to make things hard on us. He doesn't want us to make things difficult, but rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants good for us. Allah wants to purify us, and Allah wants to ultimately bring us back to the correct focus. So what I want to do now, inshallah, is begin to take some of the questions that we received, and I will take I will also take questions from the chat box, inshallah. One person asked, I have a question, how to build up our character when we are facing a hard time of our faith. And this is a good question, because this is exactly what we should be looking at with the hardship. How can this hardship build up my character? That is actually the reason why hardships are given to us. If we are responding properly, then the hardship is a character builder. If we are not responding properly, then the hardship is a punishment upon us. But we can always rectify our response. There's never a point, so long as we're still alive, that we have to say, you know, I'm not responding properly. That means I fail. That means Allah is displeased with me and I'm going to give up now. There's no point where we need to say that, because there's always a chance, as long as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us another day to live and another breath to take, we can still always come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and respond properly. The question then is, what is the proper response to hardship? And we can basically separate the response to hardship into three categories. The first category is the category of the type of response that as believers we absolutely want to avoid. And that is the response of anger at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the response of resentment at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the how could you do this to me, why me type response. This is not the proper response for a believer. And this response actually makes things harder on us, and it's an indication that this hardship is not good for us, and it's based on the fact that we're responding in the wrong way. Many people ask that question, that they don't know, how do I know if this hardship is a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or if it is a blessing or a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the answer is, it has everything to do with our response. If our response is the first response that we spoke about, of anger and resentment at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this is an indication that perhaps this is a punishment upon us, and we need to fix our response in order to purify ourselves and get the benefit of the process of hardship cleansing us. The second type of response, or category of response, is the very minimum that we should have as believers, and that's the response of sabr, the response of patience, of perseverance through the hardship. This means, the definition of sabr in this case, is that when the hardship comes to me, it may hurt inside. I may be in pain inside, but I do not complain. I restrain myself from complaint. I restrain myself from anything that would indicate that I am angry at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or that I am not trying to be patient. And so patience does not necessarily mean that I'm not in pain. Patience does not necessarily mean that I don't cry. But patience is a state of the heart where I am not complaining. Although it may hurt me, I am not angry. I am not complaining at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this, in this case, I may be crying to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or complaining to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but not about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is a vast difference between complaining to Allah and complaining about Allah. To complain to Allah is something that even the prophets, peace be upon them all, did. To complain to Allah is to tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, Allah, this hurts, and Ya Allah, this is hard for me, help me. This is complaining to Allah. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with showing your weakness. And in fact, this is something beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that we do admit our need to Him, because we are all in desperate need of Him, but many of us do not admit it. Many of us refuse to admit it. And so the one who admits it is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That humility, asking Allah for help, that's complaining to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know, for example, the dua of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam after what happened to him in Ta'if, and this horrible treatment that the people gave to him, that he was treated so badly, and he was the people threw things at him until he bled, and he was so hurt at this point, and yet what was his response? Was he turned only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he complained to Allah about what he was going through. This is not obviously a contradiction of patience or sabr. Crying to Allah, or even crying out of pain, is not a contradiction of patience and sabr. A contradiction of patience would be to complain about what is happening, to be angry, to say, how could this happen to me? Why me? This isn't fair. As if one is saying that Allah is not fair. As if one is saying that the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not just. As if someone is saying that Allah made a mistake, a'udhu billah. That is what it means to have that feeling of complaint and anger. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from that. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not to test us with those things, that would potentially even bring that out of our hearts. Qulu ameen. And so we've spoken about this second level of sabr, and this is the level that the believers should have. And the result of this response to hardship, the result of having sabr and patience in hardship, is what the Prophet ﷺ describes in a hadith when he says that there is no sadness or sorrow or pain that befalls a believer, even the prick of a thorn, except that it removes sins like leaves falling from a tree. This is the result, this is the fruits of sabr in hardship, is that we are purified, we are cleansed of our sins. And that's the beauty of having this proper response, is that it's cleaning us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in the Quran about hardship and how the hardships were sent upon nations. And one of the reasons that Allah speaks about is لِيُمَحِّصَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, that so that Allah will make the believers undergo a process called tamhis. And tamhis, when you look at this Arabic word, you'll find that this word is the same word that's used to describe the purification of gold. When you take gold and you want to purify it of its, you know, if there's any type of impurity in that gold, the way in which you remove it is by heating it up, by heating it up. And so once you heat up gold, what happens to the gold is that the impurities are removed, and what's left over is just pure, it's pure gold. This is how Allah describes the process happening to the believers, لِيُمَحْصَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, that Allah is doing tamhis to the people, to those who believe. Through the hardship, when responded to correctly, you are being purified like we purify gold. That only happens when we respond properly with patience, and it's removing our sins like leaves falling from a tree. And the third level that scholars speak about is the highest level of response to hardship, and that's the level of rida. Rida means contentment. A person, we said that in the category of sabr, a person internally feels that pain. Internally, they feel that pain. However, with the category of rida, the internal state is different. Inshallah, we will take a short break now, and when we return, we will speak more about this highest level of response to hardship. غربا Assalamu alaikum. This is Yasmin Mujahid, and you're listening to Serenity, streaming live on One Legacy Radio. We are speaking today about response to hardship and the purpose of hardship, and what are the fruits of different types of responses to our hardships. We spoke about so far two levels of response to hardship. The first being the one we want to avoid, and that's the response of complaint and anger and resentment towards God at how could you do this to me. And this is the response that makes us lose the benefit and the fruit of hardship, which is something that we gain in the second level, and only when we respond with patience, with sabr, and that is to purify us, to remove our sins and to clean us out internally of our internal deficiencies. And there's this quote that I really like. A poet said that when someone beats a rug with a stick, the beating is not intended for the rug, but it's intended for the dirt inside of the rug. And in the same way that when we are going through a hardship, we have to remember that this thing I'm going through, it's not intended to hurt me. It's intended to clean that dirt that's inside of me. If we view every challenge that we go through in that way, our response will be very different. And this brings us to the highest level of response, which is rida. Rida is when the internal state is no longer in pain or perturbed, even in the hardship itself. But there is a calm inside. Although, with sabr, we said that even if there's no, there might be pain inside, but outside one has restrained themselves from complaint, and that's very commendable. However, rida is when inside it's also calm, that there's a contentment with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives, that there isn't that, inside that agitation, that fear, that pain, but rather just calm. One way that I like to describe rida, it's like, imagine if you're going shopping with someone that you're madly in love with, and this person is picking a gift for you. So the person's going to go through the store and find something to give you as a gift from them. And suppose they pick out something, maybe it's a sweater, and maybe, if this gift were from anyone else, you might think that it was hideous, right? Or maybe most people would consider it hideous. Suppose it was objectively, just according to most people's standards, would look externally to be not very attractive. However, because of the person who gave you this gift, you cherish the gift. You love the gift, not because of the gift itself, not because of any characteristic in the gift itself. You may not normally like that type of sweater, but you love the gift because you love the giver. You love the gift because of who gave it to you, not because of what it is, the characteristic of the gift itself. And I think that this is really how we should understand rida, that everything that we have and whatever comes our way is from who? It's from Allah. Allah is the giver. And if we really love the giver, then whatever He gives, whatever it comes from Him, we will love simply because it came from Him. And it no longer matters what it is. It doesn't, we can understand this concept with worldly things and with our human relationships. If someone's in love, the person they love could give them a pencil and, they cherish it, right? Oh my gosh, like this is the first pencil they ever gave me, Like the idea here is that it becomes sentimental, becomes something that your heart cherishes simply because you love the one who gave it to you. And that is enough to make you love the gift. This is the high, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that has the highest method for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the highest example is for Allah, that if we really, imagine if we really love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we know that this came from Him, this is His choice for us. Allah has chosen this particular gift for us. And it's kind of like somebody, again, who you're in love with has chosen something for you in a particular color. And maybe it wasn't a color that you would have otherwise chosen for yourself, but you're pleased with it. You're pleased with it because of who picked it out for you. You love the one who picked it for you. And look at, you know, Allah has chosen things for us in our lives. He's chosen our parents. He's chosen our children. He's chosen our spouse. I mean, ultimately, these are all things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written for us. And so in the end, are we pleased? Are we pleased with the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for us? Even in our hardships, even when something faces me, am I pleased? Am I pleased that this is... Who did this come from? Who is this? You know, it's a package outside your door. And the question isn't what's in the package. The question should be, who did it come from? And when you find out who it came from, are you not pleased? And that's how we should really look at, you know, anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And the scholars say that when you have this type of response to hardship, the level of rida, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy on us to reach that level, that the fruit of this response is not only purification, but elevation, in elevating us in our status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in our station with Him. And this is the most beautiful of gifts, is to be nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is the fruit of rida. The next question that I received says, I find that it's easy to remember Allah with passion when we need His help. But when things are fine, I find that despite praying regularly, I don't feel the same passion and love for Allah. How do I regain the same passion that I had earlier? SubhanAllah, this person mentions something that is also one of the realities of hardship, and we said that one of the reasons why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends hardships is because it purifies us, tamhis, the process of purification, as you purify gold. Another reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that He sends hardship is so that we will return to Him, and la'allahum yarji'un, in order that they will return. Sometimes, as the sister or brother said, sometimes when we're very lost, it takes a storm to wake us up and bring us back. You know, you'll find that even an atheist, if you put them in the middle of an ocean, and you know, as long as the ocean is calm and the person feels that they are in control, they don't see any need for God, and they may even be an atheist. But as soon as the storm hits, as soon as the waves are now like mountains on two sides of the boat, and that person realizes that they have absolutely no control at that point, even an atheist will turn and look for a higher power. Even an atheist. This is something that's in our nature, to look for something bigger than ourselves to help us. To devote ourselves to. This is ingrained in our nature as human beings. And the problem is that we just numb that. We hide it. We cover it up with a lot of apps and music and drugs and alcohol and attachments and distractions and all the things that we numb ourselves with. And what we're doing is we're also suffocating that fitrah. We're covering up that fitrah, that nature. And even when you look at the root word of kufr, the word kufr itself means to cover. A kafir in the Quran is referring to a gardener, a tiller, someone who covers up the ground with, or covers the seed with dirt. The root word of kufr is to cover up. Someone who is a kafir is literally someone who's covering things up. And one of the things that's being covered up is this nature, this natural inclination to recognize a higher power and to recognize that He is one, that He has no equal and that there's nothing like Him. And even though we refer to Him with the pronoun he is not actually a male or like a man, but that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that God is high above any of his creation and is not like them. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing like him. And we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Ikhlas, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٌ. And there is nothing like unto him at the end of this surah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put that nature in us. And every time that we, you know, sometimes like the listener was saying, sometimes when things are easy, you know, there's no storm, I'm comfortable on the shore, I'm sipping, you know, pina colada, non-alcoholic, of course, and I'm comfortable. So I don't really feel the need to turn to a higher power. And it's when that hardship hits, then we go back to God. And that's what makes us be more able to be sincere, like, you know, in our passion and our love for Him. So it is a very good question of how do we regain that same passion once we are again safe on the shore. And I think the answer is we have to stay connected with a lot of dhikr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has emphasized the need for remembrance again and again and again in the Quran, that this is what feeds our heart, this is what gives us life. If we are not remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is as if we are starving our hearts, suffocating our souls. There's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, very profound, that says the difference between the one who remembers his Lord and the one who does not remember him is like the difference between the living and the dead. So the one who is remembering God is alive, that person is alive, and the one who has forgotten God, the one who does not remember him, the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala plays no real part in their life, in how they live or what they talk about or what they want or what they strive for, what they fear. Really, you know, sometimes our faith or our, you know, claiming of faith is just on the tongue. We might say La ilaha illallah, but Allah really plays no part in our actual lives and in our hearts and in our minds. And when we're not remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we are disconnected from that remembrance, we are disconnecting our hearts from its source of nourishment, from its source of life. And that's a lot of times why we end up falling out of that nearness and out of that intense passion that we otherwise have during hardship. Because think about it. What are we doing differently during the time of hardship? There are things that we are actually practically doing differently during the hardship versus once the hardship is over. If you just reflect on your own life and you see, how did I act? What were the things I did during my hardship versus what were the things that I do otherwise? And you'll find that when you were in your hardship, you were waking up and praying Qiyam. You were waking up in the last third of the night. You were constantly begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and making dua. You were so in need of Him, and you were realizing this need for Him. You were remembering Him day and night because you knew that you couldn't get yourself out of this situation and you needed Him. So you were remembering Him. You were making more dua. You were more humble to Him. You were waking up in the last third of the night. You were praying. Maybe you were praying your prayers more regularly. Whereas once the hardship was taken away, You actually left those actions. You left those acts of worship. So it's no wonder then that we ask ourselves that why are we in a different state once the hardship is gone? We have to examine what did we do differently when we were going through that hardship. And most of the time we'll find that our remembrance was increased, and that our worship, our ibadah, was increased. And once the hardship is lifted, it goes back to that lower level. Maybe now we're not as careful about our prayers, or we're no longer praying in the last third of the night. We're no longer really making much dua because we don't really feel the need to. And that's really our problem. Maybe when we were going through that hardship, we were making more istighfar. We were seeking forgiveness from Allah. We were afraid that maybe Allah is displeased with us. So we were desperately asking for forgiveness. But then once it became easy again, we gave up that very, very important act of ibadah. Inshallah, I will take another short break now. And returning, we'll take more questions on this question, on this topic of hardship.
Oh,